Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're well on this windy and rainy morning as Aaron impacts us just a little bit more. But praise God that the Lord is with us. And whether it's sunny or rainy, his presence ministers to us and allows us to have a beautiful day in him. So today we are in 1 Timothy 3. And I'm excited to share with you some important information that the Lord has for us today. So let's open up in a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to cover this from beginning to end. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we just come to you this morning with humble hearts, asking for your leadership, your guidance, your beautiful and powerful words to impact us and to convict us and allow a transformation in us to take place. Lord, we are open to what you would have to say to us today. Please open our ears and our hearts and our minds and allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation so that we can better serve you, Lord, so that we can better glorify you, so that we can be the servants that you're calling us to be. So I thank you for each person on this call, and I ask that you would bless them and anoint them with a word from you to apply to their lives, including me. So we thank you for the power of your word, and we're expectant, Lord. We're expecting because we can pray all of these things in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Once again, we are in 1 Timothy 3, and I am reading from the NIV version, the New International Version. So let's see what the Lord says to us today. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in this world, was taken up in glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for this amazing section of a letter. Remember, we call them books of the Bible and we divide them up into chapters and verses, but this entire book was a very personal, fatherly letter to Timothy, Paul's protege, to counsel him and encourage him. Can you think of a letter that you've received in your life or a text, you know, AKA a text these days that have encouraged you and provided wisdom and direction? Well, this was what Paul was doing for Timothy. And just a reminder, Timothy was the young pastor of the church of Ephesus and was facing all sorts of challenges from his church and the culture of the day in Ephesus. And I'm sure pastors today have the same exact challenges and in our current culture. And Ephesus was growing like crazy, just like Fusion. So imagine that Pastor Brendan is having some of the same challenges. So this letter is for us today and our church as well. And I love how Paul starts out this section of his letter by saying to Timothy, "This is a trustworthy saying." Ooh, pay attention. It is worthy of our trust. The New King James Version states, "This is a faithful saying. Timothy, you can put your faith in what I am about to say. You can put your trust in what I am about to say, and so can we today." So, what advice does Paul have to give that is trustworthy and faithful? In my NIV Bible, the first section of 1 Timothy is entitled Qualifications for Overseers, and Deacons. Paul states in verse 1, "Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task." And then Paul describes not the noble task, but what qualifications the overseer should have. Let's first look at what he meant by overseer and then the qualifications. The word overseer is translated in other versions primarily as bishop, but in also in other versions, church leader, church official, church administrator, superintendent, and elder. The word bishop in the original Greek is episkopos. Epi means over, and skopos means to look, which according to Rick Renner in Sparkling Gems from the Greek means a person who has oversight. Renner shares an example of a person who has oversight, a supervisor of a construction site, responsible for the entire project from beginning to end, including budgeting, accountability of workers, that the construction was completed according to code, et cetera, like a project manager or a foreman. When most people hear the word bishop, they think of a religious individual dressed in a long gown, wearing a long gold chain with a cross on the end. And Renner argues that this is not what Paul meant when he used the word episkopos or bishop. Timothy needed godly leaders who could help him lead the flock during the construction of the Church of Ephesus. We begin to realize that the Holy Spirit directed Paul to teach Timothy that character was paramount for church leaders and more important than passion and or giftings. A note in my Life Application Bible states, "It is good to want to be a spiritual leader, but the standards are high." Paul enumerates some of the qualifications here. Do you hold a position of spiritual leadership, or would you like to be a leader someday? Check yourself against Paul's standard of excellence. Those with great responsibility must meet high expectations. So, let's do a personal checklist as I read off the expectations that Paul has in verses 2 through 7, that he should be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, aka calm and reasonable, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, must manage his own family well. His children must obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of respect. Paul emphasizes the why behind the what in verse 5. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how then can he care for God's church or God's family? The Believer's Bible Commentary shares, "The argument here is clear. Unless a man shows fitness to rule his own home, how will he ever expect to take care of the church of God? In his own home, the number of persons is comparatively small. They are all related to him, and most of the members are very much younger than he. In the church, on the other hand, the numbers are apt to be much greater, and with this increase in numbers, there goes a corresponding diversity of temperaments. It is obvious that if a man is unfit to rule in the smaller sphere, he would be clearly disqualified for the larger." Now, is this calling for perfection? No, obviously not. Does any man have perfect obedience of his children? Of course not. But this is pointing to the ideal character and qualifications of a bishop or elder or a spiritual leader. So we should take note as to our goal, what we're striving for. And we'll never reach perfection until we get to heaven. But these are guidelines for church leaders that we need to take seriously and to allow the Lord to continue to perfect us, teach us, guide us. Ask the question, are we open to correction? Are we open to learning? Are we open to improvement by the power of the Holy Spirit? This is what church leaders should be exhibiting. And we learn what kind of care this person should provide as the note continues in my Bible. The only other time the expression "take care of," because we go back, he needs to take care of this elder, this bishop, this leader. The only other time the expression "take care of" is used in the New Testament is the story of the Good Samaritan, found in Luke 10:34. The same tender, compassionate care shown by the Good Samaritan to the victim of the robbers should be shown by the leader who cares for the church of God. I just think that's a beautiful analogy, a beautiful correlation, but a challenging one as well. So keep that in mind. Paul continues with the qualifications and states that a leader must not be a novice. Verse 6 states, he must not be a recent convert. Then once again, Paul gives the why. Why? He may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Many verses in the Bible point to pride as being the root to sin. So this is an important warning from Paul. And that was our enemy's main defect, pride. He felt he should be God. So we have to be very careful of our pride and the pride that can seep into the church and help people to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Lord and not in ourselves, to die to self, as we're constantly saying. Paul continues, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders. Why? I love how Paul gives the why behind the what. Why? So that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Once again, this is a battle with the enemy, and we want to be on the Lord's side, following his commandments and allowing him to be our general. So we have to think about it. Those are very high standards. And you now know why character is more important than gifting and passion. That is worth repeating and is a main message here. Character is more important than gifting and passion. AI, our artificial intelligence source, defines biblical character as the moral qualities of an individual, reflecting their inner nature and impacting their actions and choices, especially in relation to God and others. It's not just about outward behavior, but about the heart and the motives behind it. Godly character is exemplified by traits like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and humility. So each week, I like to give a visual aid to help remember the message that God is teaching us through His Word. And I can't think of a better visual aid than a photo of Bob Gilmore that Pastor Brendan shared on social media on Tuesday. Pastor Brendan always spoke of Bob's large hands. What a dedicated, generous, and hardworking servant he was at Future Church and beyond. But that isn't what qualified Bob to be an elder. It was his character that qualified him, and one that he role modeled so well for us. His integrity, his faithfulness, his humility, his gentleness, his wisdom, his compassion, and the list goes on. I never once heard him complain, and I'm sure that I personally gave him reason to complain. Pastor Brendan always shared with us how meticulous he was with the books and keeping the budget in line at Fusion. And I only had one tiny little aspect, probably a 0.01 participation in that budget with the DR mission. But I constantly would have to be reminded to provide receipts. I would have to ask for last minute checks. I would ask for updates. He never once complained. He always so graciously met my last minute request. And I so enjoyed his leadership in my life and his leadership at Fusion. So I just wanted to join all of you and Pastor Brendan, the entire Wilson family, in honoring him and thanking him for his amazing service at Fusion. And I know you're probably, if you knew him well, you're like me and you will terribly miss Bob at Fusion. But please join me in praising and thanking God for his character that shows us how to be a genuine, powerful Jesus follower, elder, and leader. And I know that you're all joining me in lifting up his partner in ministry and beloved wife, Barb, and their daughters and family. Now, I never saw Bob complain, but I'm sure he wasn't perfect. But he was an amazing role model and continued to seek his Lord and Savior to advance in his path to righteousness and sanctification. So I can't think of a better visual aid, a better role model for all of us today. And Not only does Paul share about elders, he also shares about deacons and their wives in verses 8 to 13, holding them to a high standard as well. Deacon means one who serves. This position is obviously very important because Paul says in verse 10, they must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. I love verse 9, which challenges me to keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. This means that I must be in God's word, seeking Him, be in sound doctrine and in life. I must not only know the truth, I must live it. And I always say to myself, to my family and friends, truth has a name, and it's the name of Jesus. When all of you come on SOAP, it encourages me so because we are a group, a community seeking truth each morning during SOAP to seek scripture, to observe it, to then apply it and to pray about it. So thank you for helping to sharpen me and to get to know Jesus, our source of truth, better. And these verses should challenge all of us, not just me, because a note in my Life Application Bible reminds us the list of qualifications for church office show that living a blameless and pure life requires effort and self-discipline. All believers, let me say that again. All believers, even if they never plan to be a church leader, should strive to follow these guidelines because they are consistent with what God says is true and right. The strength to live according to God's will comes from Christ, not ourselves, not other people, but from Christ. And as we mature in our faith, as we mature in our understanding, the more we're in His Word and allowing other people to pour into us, remember, iron sharpens iron. I'm reminded that my strength will mature as well. I'm reminded, excuse me, in 2 Peter 3:18, we are told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. I know over the years, as the Holy Spirit has brought revelation and conviction, that this has allowed me to grow in my faith and character. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm certainly not where I used to be. This growth has impacted my leadership as well. And I need to continue to ask the Holy Spirit, even today, where do you want to grow me so that I can fulfill the callings that you have for me in whatever realm of influence or leadership, or just people that I meet on the street, people that I meet in ShopRite, that happen to say they're having a bad day and challenge to pray for them right there. We need to be living out this faith in every aspect of our lives. But once again, don't beat yourself up where if you're not where you want to be. That's the enemy trying to spew shame on us. What we want to do is to seek the Holy Spirit, to be convicted, to have revelation, to continue to grow, to ask others to help us to grow. So, if you're new in your faith, or you're not new in your faith and you're not where you want to be, ask the Lord to help you to grow. Fusion is about to kick off a new semester of Connect Groups. Prayerfully consider where the Lord wants you to grow and sign up for a group that addresses that area. And be a faithful participant to that group. Just don't go for the first week or two and throw in the towel. Be faithful and see what God has for you during that entire Connect Group semester. Show up, do the homework, invest in the relationships, keep everything in confidence, encourage everyone to participate. If you're a talker like me, make sure you allow others to talk. Sometimes I get so excited about what God is saying that I just want to keep talking. So I have this little thing. I try to count to 10 in my mind before I share to make sure that others get to share. If you're not comfortable sharing, ask the Lord to give you the courage to share and then give him the glory for when he does give you the courage and shows up. If your group provides snacks, sign up for 1 week. Everyone can grow and participate and practice their character traits and qualities of an elder or a deacon or deaconess, whether you're being called to that position or not. So if you're looking, saying, I don't know where to start with this, start by practicing it in a connect group and allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit to foster faithfulness and goodness and courage and humility, that whole entire list that we talked about today. If you're looking for an opportunity to do that, join a connect group and stay faithful to it the entire semester. Now, Paul closes out this section of his letter, which remember, are his instructions to Timothy with the great mystery. And Paul writes in this note, more text, think of it as another text of encouragement. And you might even want to say to yourself, who can I encourage today? Who can I send a text? There's lots of practical wisdom that we can glean from today, from this, and apply immediately. Remember, SOAP is not just scripture and observation, it's application. Ask the Lord, how can I apply this today? So Paul closes out this section with more encouragement, and he refers to the great mystery. Paul writes, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Paul powerfully, faithfully, and beautifully pours into Timothy. He is Timothy's mentor. We all need mentors and role models in our lives. And my husband and I frequently told our children, and I've probably said it before, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Garbage in, garbage out. Who is pouring into you? Who will you honor someday, like Pastor Brendan honored Bob Gilmore? The Lord uses others to help shape our character, to encourage us and champion us. Just another reason to join a connect group. No, this isn't a shameless plug. It's giving valid advice how to foster this character that God wants us to have. So many of you know I have been blessed to have the same mentor in my life for 40 years now. And the Lord has used her immeasurably in my life to point me to Jesus, his calling for me, his righteousness. And this journey, this little by little refining of my character, believe you me, once again, has not been perfect. But I praise God for my mentor and my family members and close friends who have pointed out things and said, Anne, you're a little off course. You need to get back on course. Or when I've been super discouraged and, don't want to be in the word, they gently remind me, they compassionately remind me. They give me testimonies of what the Lord did in their life. So I am so grateful for my mentor. But I have to say that the ultimate mentor is who? Jesus. And these final verses of today's reading are a short hymn based on John 1:14 that points us all to our ultimate role model. Once again, Jesus. Verse 16 reads, "Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory." And a final note in my Bible reads, "Paul affirms the humanity and divinity of Christ. By so doing, he reveals the heart of the gospel, the mystery of godliness, the secret of how we become godly. Appeared in a body, Jesus was a man. Jesus' incarnation is the basis of being right with God. Was vindicated by the Spirit, Jesus' resurrection showed that the Holy Spirit's power was with him, referred to Romans 8:11. Was seen by angels and was taken up in glory, Jesus is divine. We can't please God on our own. We must depend on Christ. As a man, Jesus lived a perfect life, and so he is the perfect example of how to live. As God, Jesus gives us the power to do what is right. It is possible to live a godly life through following Christ." So, wow, what a powerful word, and what wonderful role models we have at Fusion Church. And you know, I just want to thank all of you that you cover my weaknesses. I'm a teacher by trade, so I write out my devotions when I do SOAP. I cannot multitask. The longer I live, I recognize my weaknesses. I can't multitask. So unlike others, I can't be reading the chat, but we have amazing leaders who share on that chat with all of you. So I want to thank the faithful leaders, the faithful role models that respond to the word in the chat. And I always read it afterwards, and I'm so encouraged by what everyone else gets out of it. So we need partners to show us how to grow in our faith. And praise God that he partners with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you everyone for participating and partnering with me and helping me to share SOAP every morning. And thank you for allowing me to prepare in advance and read my devotions, because I'm not a morning person. I know my weaknesses. I like to have an outline and to write it down. But once again, I'm not perfect. The Lord's going to use the body of Christ to perfect us and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's close in a word of prayer. And I hope that you have a blessed day. So let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are not only the living word, but you gave us your word, this beautiful gift of scripture, and the ability to share it, to think about it, to pray about it, to apply it. We just thank you and praise you for all of the wisdom that you give us, especially in challenging us how to be refined and how you are going to prepare and raise up the bishops and leaders and elders of our church. So God, we ask that you would speak to each one of us and allow us to take something from this, to be refined just a little bit more on this path to sanctification. Lord, we come together and thank you and praise you for all of our elders, but especially we want to thank you for Bob Gilmore today. And we lift up Barb and his daughters and his family and everyone that loved him who is grieving right now, and just ask that you would comfort all of us and remind us of the beautiful work that you did through Bob's life. We loved Bob and love him, his family, but you love them more. So we're going to trust you to comfort them and to be with them during this difficult time. Lord, I thank you so much for this time and each person on it, and especially those that responded in the chat and guided the chat and added to the chat. And may you just continue to chat with us today. Keep reminding us of this word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've done it all. And we're so blessed to pray all of these things in your powerful and matchless name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day. Operate in that truth.